In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In our Saturday morning studies of the Church Fathers that we've been doing with our men's Bible study, and also a group of the ladies from our parishes have been doing as well, the last couple of sessions we've discussed the meaning behind the word covenant. And we see this word covenant appear several times in our readings this weekend. We see it a couple of times in the first reading today from the book of Genesis following the flood. And this event is also referenced in our second reading, which comes from St. Peter's first letter. We also see the word covenant appear in the responsorial psalm for this weekend's Mass. So what is covenant? What is a covenant? Well, a covenant is a permanent oath that consists of not merely an exchange of goods, but an exchange of persons. In other words, a covenant is a permanent promise between two persons. An easy covenant, of course, to point to in our modern age is that of the sacrament of holy matrimony, because by its very nature, as God created it, marriage, that is matrimony, is meant to be a permanent oath, an exchange of persons consisting of one man and one woman. And we know that Christ elevated marriage to a sacrament in the Gospels. A contract, on the other hand, is a promise made between two parties that consists of an exchange of goods and is, of its very nature, temporary. God's relationship that he has established with us is a covenant relationship. It is a covenant that he has established with us. It is not a contractual relationship, because God does not intend to make a mere temporary and flaky promise with us, nor does he want to make merely an exchange of goods with us. But ultimately, through his Son, he has established an eternal, permanent covenant, an oath with us that does not consist in the exchange of mere earthly goods, but is ratified by the very gift of himself and sealed in the blood of not some brute animal, but is sealed in the blood of his own divine Son. And the Son has offered to us his very self, his very person. And he wants us, all of us, our whole being, our whole self, in exchange, to surrender ourselves to his love and to find our fulfillment in him. We belong to Christ because we were purchased not by the sum of silver or gold, as St. Peter tells us, but we've been purchased by his blood. And even though we might always remain faithful on our end of the covenant because of our sins and our weaknesses and our failings, God always remains faithful to us because God always keeps his promises. And he continually invites us deeper into that covenantal relationship with him to be ever faithful so that we can spend eternity with him in the life that is to come. We see many instances of this covenantal relationship with God and his people throughout the Old Testament, including what we hear in today's first reading. We hear of the ending of the story of the flood, and Noah comes out of the ark. He sets up an altar. He offers sacrifice to Almighty God. And God says to Noah, "See, I am now establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you." And then we read a few verses later, "I set my bow in the clouds to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." The flood in Noah's time signified a new creation, as it were, which prefigured the sacrament of baptism, as St. Peter speaks about in the second reading, because we become a new creation through our baptism, through being saved by the waters of baptism, being cleansed of our original sin, and given that grace to live out our lives of faith worthily and faithfully, so long as we do, of course, remain faithful and cooperate with the graces God gives us. But with this new creation that we hear about in the book of Genesis comes a covenant that God makes. There are certainly many other instances in the Old Testament of these covenants that God makes, such as when he makes the covenant with Abraham, and of course when he makes the covenant with Moses, especially at the Passover meal and the Passover sacrifice. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, God establishes a new covenant with us, a new and eternal covenant sealed in the blood of Christ. In this new covenant established by Christ, our Lord makes an oath to us that he will always be with us and he will never abandon his bride, the church. Christ offers himself in sacrifice as the priest and the victim, offering himself in sacrifice upon the cross, and he gives us his own body and blood in communion to us so that we can show our communion with that covenant that God has made with us. In other words, Christ establishes the new covenant through the establishment of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which he instituted at the Last Supper, which was an anticipation of the sacrifice that he was going to complete on Good Friday the next day and culminate in, of course, the victory at the resurrection. The Mass, as we theologically understand it and as it has always been understood by the Church since the time that Christ instituted it, the Mass is the representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, the new covenant in his blood. We priests, whenever we recite the words, whenever we say those solemn words of consecration over the wine to change it into the precious blood, we say that this is the blood of the new and eternal covenant. Each time we come to Mass, it continues to put in front of us that kind of relationship that God desires with us, that God has established with us. A covenant that is based in his divine love, that consists in the very gift of himself, presented to us in the glorious gift of the Holy Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. At the Last Supper, Christ commands his apostles, his first priests, he commands them to continue and to perpetuate this covenant, this new covenant in his blood, through the celebration of the Mass, through the celebration of the Eucharist, to continue to perpetuate his sacrifice. And he commanded them to do this whenever he said, "Do this in memory of me." The Mass is the heart of the life of we Catholics, and how often we as Catholics take the Mass for granted. How often we take the Mass for granted as Catholics. How often we nonchalantly miss Sunday Mass because it's inconvenient for us. How often we do this as Catholics. And during this time of Eucharistic revival, this is something we need to return to understand the importance and the necessity of the Mass. So with all of this in mind, brothers and sisters, how will we deepen and renew our end of the covenantal relationship with God, sealed in the blood of his Son, during this Lenten season? What have we committed to be doing during this Lenten season? If we've just given up something for Lent and we ignore the devotional life and we ignore the sacraments of the Church during the Lenten season, then we are not doing Lent correctly. In fact, we are making a mockery of the Lenten season. If we treat it like just checking off check boxes of things that we just need to get done during Lent, if that's how we treat Lent, we're making a mockery of the Lenten season, and we're making a mockery of the new covenant sealed in the blood of Christ, our Savior. As a covenant is an exchange of persons, let us seek to offer our very selves just as our Lord has offered himself for us upon the cross and offers himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. The psalm for this weekend says, "Your ways, O Lord, are love and truth to those who keep your covenant." Your ways, O Lord, are love and truth to those who keep your covenant, and only to those who keep his covenant. So do we strive to keep his covenant? Do we strive to be faithful? Are we attentive to the ways that might harm or hurt or even destroy our relationship with God? What sins, what imperfections do we need to be rid of and purged of? Do we take our Catholic faith? Do we take the Mass? Do we take the Eucharist? Do we take the sacrament of confession? Do we take the devotional life to Mary, to St. Joseph and the saints seriously? As Fulton Sheen once said, a good Catholic is one who takes his or her faith seriously. And do we do this? Do we truly offer our very selves to God, or do we just go through the motions of our faith and just simply give God lip service? God invites us into this covenantal relationship with him, which is not merely just giving lip service to God. And certainly, what is the guiding principle of this new covenant that has been established in the blood of Christ? Well, our Lord tells us this weekend. The guiding principle of this new covenant is to repent and believe in the gospel. If we want to live this new covenant established by Christ, sealed in his blood, then let us repent. Let us turn away from sin. Let us change our lives and let us believe more fully in the gospel, helped by the many graces that are offered to us through the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the glorious gift of the Holy Eucharist, our spiritual nourishment. And let us ask Our Lady, who was par excellence in the covenantal relationship with God, by always being faithful to God, by always being faithful to her divine Son, even to the foot of the cross. Let us ask her to help us to deepen our covenantal relationship with Almighty God. And as we pray after Mass today, in silence and in reverence, let us thank God for the gift of this proof of His covenantal love for us, namely the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. And let us ask Him to help us to do something this week and this Lent that is truly going to help deepen that covenantal friendship with our blessed Lord. And let those words of Christ at the Last Supper of "Do this in memory of me," those words in which He instituted this new covenant, let those words resound in us that we might continue to live out the covenant that He has made with us, not written with ink on paper or parchment, but established by His very blood, poured out for us upon the altar of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.